Is it fun?
Never mind, girl.
Monica McNutt, Justin Tinsley, Israel Gutierrez, Harry Lyles Jr. Today, records on records, milestones on milestones, runs on runs, and bounces on bounces. Let's go around the horn. This one is my favorite.
Awareness level.
Because it also had
zero.
And we win. Let's go around the horn.
Wow. A legend in high school
not
forever.
Every one place. Bounce pass is a bounce pass, but those are passes with bounces. Let's start with this. Have you ever seen a 74-23 run before? Trick question, that's not a run. That's a Fadipadian beatdown. It was 21-21. It finished 140-88. 52-point final margin. Let's put Golden State losing by 52 to the side just for a second, except for the quote from Steph Curry calling the Celtics the best team in the league. Israel Gutierrez, around the horn to you. What about this year's Celtics team looks different? And take me through a path for them from being the best team in the league in the regular season, which we've kind of seen before, to a championship team for them, which we've never seen.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Steph here, and what looks different is the confidence. I believe the confidence comes from having a great team around you. Kristaps Porzingis, I know he didn't play yesterday. He's been such a huge key to this team and how much better they've played. Derek White playing at an all-star level. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown kind of maybe taking a step back in the scoring area to just sort of let everybody else flourish. I think it's been obvious they've been the best team in the regular season all season long from the very beginning. I think the hesitancy is, hey, what do they look like in the playoffs? We haven't seen, let's say, Kristaps Porzingis go deep into the playoffs. We haven't seen this team, you know, get by Miami very easily, okay? And we've seen them in the, against the Warriors, and they were favored going into that. Not really do especially well. There's a confidence level. I believe Steph Curry, there's a confidence level there because they're better than they were last year. They have an experience level that they didn't have, you know, maybe last year after losing that or almost coming back to that 0-3 deficit. And they're just different mentally. You saw Jaylen Brown there. The Warriors tried to get into his head by giving him all that space. He just took it and took over the game, absolutely owned it. I think as a Celtics team as a whole, they just don't have any holes. And so they recognize that, and they feel like they are just a better team.
Okay, so no holes to this team, Israel Gutierrez says. And the biggest change has been mental. It's that they have confidence. Justin Tinsley, do you see a team that can be best in the regular season also apply that to the postseason?
Yes, it can, but it remains to be seen if that's the case. But during the broadcast yesterday, they talked about Joe Mazzulla and how comfortable he was the second year in this role. So it plays like that on the court. That game was so bad yesterday, the Celtics actually turned 50-11 into an actual number. Like, that's a mythical number because that was so much. Like, at one point, they were on a 50-11 run, but that's how good this team has been.
Is that right? That's
the whole season, man. They're on pace for a net efficiency that mirrors the 96-97 Bulls. They've won 10 straight games shooting 50% from the field. Like, they're bringing NCAA football back. They need to bring NBA Jam back because this team is literally on fire. That's how good they are. And they look like they know we have to get it done this year because this is the best team that we've had in quite some time. And to Izzy's credit, it's that confidence that
confidence.
Just bleeds through.
All right. The very nebulous confidence that we speak of. Monica McNutt, is there something different about this year's Celtics?
Well, I think it's just a matter of time, but I will add to JT's acknowledgement of mythical numbers, they've also been deep in the postseason umpteen times. And so they have a level of experience there that now it's all starting to come together. Yesterday, or this weekend rather, was Jason Tatum's 26th birthday. While these guys are still young in the grand scheme of things, they are hitting their NBA prime. And everybody has another year under their belt, from the coaching staff to the two additions, in particular Drew Holiday. When you talk about this team being different, the entire year now for Derek White having an arguably all-star caliber year. So to me, the time that they've been able to spend together has only cemented that they better get it done this
Harry,
year.
Harry, are you convinced this year's Celtics are different than last year's Celtics, year before Celtics?
It certainly feels like it. I mean, as it pertains to the game, when Steph Curry airballed 2 3-pointers in the first quarter, that kind of let us know that the Warriors were going to be in trouble no matter what. But the run that this Celtics team is on right now, the fact that they are averaging a 22-point margin of victory over these 11 wins is absolutely incredible, and there's no denying that greatness. Izzy had mentioned that they challenged Jaylen Brown to go ahead and beat them, and he scored 19 points in 7 minutes. So they tackled everything head on last night. The thing that I still cannot come to grips with, or the question that I still have with regards to the Celtics team, is can they do this in May and June? We saw that it looked like they had a lot put together last year, and they sort of just crumbled. I would hope that Joe Mazzulla seems like he has learned a lot from last year, and I think that that is going to be a big difference for them, and we've talked about the experience that they do have. But because of that playoff experience from last year and how that went, and because the Denver Nuggets still exist, right, I'm still a little hesitant to go all the way with them.
Gutierrez back in.
I'll give you one concern, Tony, because everybody loves the Boston Celtics here. I am a little concerned about their playoff depth. I don't know if you can necessarily play Peyton Pritchard, Hauser, maybe even Luke Kornet. What am I doing with those guys? Maybe you might not be able to play them heavy minutes in the playoffs, and maybe they become a little bit more predictable offensively. You never really know. But I do think that, obviously, if you're playing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis more minutes, not going to be something you complain about, right?
Mm-hmm. Got to talk about Golden State. They lost by 52. There's a school of thought. You lose by 52, it's the same as losing by 2. But also, they lost by 52, Monica. Is that something or nothing?
Well, is there something in between something and nothing? Look, Steph Curry is one of the most pragmatic interviews you'll have in the NBA. He talked about the praise that Boston rightfully deserved after that game. But earlier in the week, he also was very candid about this team being an average team. And so I think you saw that. Yes, they had won 8 consecutive road victories, and they were on a little bit of a hot streak, but they've got real work to do to make any real impact for us to believe that they are a contender this year.
We've been horned. We'll move on. History, every game from Caitlin Clark. Let's go around that horn. Passing Pete Maravich with those technical free throws. On senior day, her last regular season home game ever for Iowa, beating the number 2 team in the country, taking those shoves, and yes, giving those shoves in this game, and also freaking out, meeting her idol, meeting up with her again, Maya Moore. That is a full day.
She will be the GOAT of college basketball. The championship is keeping her from being the GOAT. She is one of the best, but if she gets a championship, she will be the GOAT. And the reason why, there are only 2 top 100 recruits out of the top 7 scorers on this Iowa team. It's in part due to how great she is, but it's also because she does not have very much help on this team. If she wins with this team, she becomes the GOAT.
Ooh, fire take from Carter there. I'll give her, or you'll get her fire. Monica McNutt, is that the way you see it?
I rest my case as well, Your Honor. Like, yes, that's exactly the way you see it. The thing that is hanging up the GOAT conversation is the well-roundedness and the rings. And let's be fair, we talk about the hardware when we have the GOAT conversation in any other sport. And so women's basketball in this case is no different. Caitlin has blown our minds with her offensive abilities, both to score and facilitate. She's propelling the women's games forward. She's capitalizing on a time when there are more eyeballs on the sport than there have ever been.
So one ring, opposed to, let's say, 4 for Breanna Stewart, 3 for Diana Taurasi, 2 for Cheryl Miller. Monica, you'd say one is enough with the scoring record she just set to be the greatest of all time.
I do, because I think, to Drea's point, you will look at those rosters. DT's teammate was Sue Bird at one point, Swing Cash, Breanna Stewart. There's a plethora of players from that team that went on to have WNBA careers. She just does not have the support around her.
Justin Tinsley.
I agree, and I feel like I need to take a cold shower right now, because we're talking about a woman who, you know, she has more points than anybody, of course, but she's also 6th in assists. She's the only college basketball player ever to lead a major conference in scoring and assists for 4 years. But guess what? When you're talking greatest of all time, we're talking about greatest, you have to achieve your sports' greatest feat, which is a championship. If she gets that, as Andrea said, it's undeniable. It's not even up for debate.
Not even up for debate. We have a debate about everything on this show. Some have said this debate is happening too quickly, that this debate is just being prisoner of a moment or a recency bias. Is there a Gutierrez? I turn to you.
Here's the thing that makes me a little bit uncomfortable with this, and I actually think Andrea Carter pointed it out perfectly. She said college greatest player of all time because, I mean, look, we have enough – WNBA has been around for, what, 30 years? We have enough of evidence or enough of a league to say, hey, let's go ahead and let them play their professional career out before we say who's the greatest of all time. But if we're just sticking to college, I agree with Carter there. And, yes, she has to be the greatest of all time in college basketball, women's college basketball, because she doesn't have the superstar teammates. Now, you want to argue, hey, put Diana Taurasi on Iowa, prime Diana Taurasi. Rossi College on Iowa team, will she be doing the same things? Maybe, but we don't have any evidence of that. All you can do is see what's right in front of you. And I think when you talk about her sort of power in the world, I know it's not what we're talking about right now, but Travis Scott showed up to that game, and there was a camera that followed him as he was entering, and as he entered, he dapped up Jake from State Farm, and it's talk about worlds colliding and Caitlin Clark bringing people together. It's absolutely crazy. This girl.
The dap he needed to give was to Maya Moore, who was sitting right next to Jake. Not sure their eyes met each other, but that was the dap he needed. Harry Lyles Jr.
First off, I just got to acknowledge Andrea Carter, Maya Moore, two Atlanta legends. But this feels like the healthiest GOAT debate that we have potentially ever had, because when we do talk about the GOAT debate, we're always talking about rings, which would put Brandon Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Miller, if we wanted to go Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like that would be one thing. But when we talk about the totality of what she has done and what she has meant to the game, the comparison that I always come back to, not necessarily from playing style, I know we do that with the three-pointers, but to me, she is a rock star in the way that only Steph Curry has also been the last 25 years. The way
that factors into this debate for you, how they changed the literal game that we're playing and watching in that day.
Yes. And you have to, because again, to me, where we go with the GOAT conversation is usually just about all accolades. When she truly has changed the game, brought attention to not just women's basketball, but men's college basketball as well. I don't think, at least in terms of on-court performance, she gets nearly enough credit for, one, taking that team to the Final Four last year, and two, beating a South Carolina team that every single person in the world thought was a lock to win the championship last year. And then if she were to do that this year and beat a team that, again, we think South Carolina is probably a lock to win the championship this year, if she beats that team and wins a championship, I think it is more than a fair debate to put her in the GOAT conversation and say she is the greatest women's college basketball player of all time.
When you look at the numbers, the attendance when she shows up to teams, if it's not four times more, it's at least two times more. And so she has been a force in the game.
So that factors into your GOAT debate as well for you.
Well, not quite into my GOAT debate, but what I will say of this is that she is maximizing the moment with the eyes being the biggest they've ever been on this sport. And I just hope that the energy around the sport in totality continues for folks that help put the game on the
broadcast. Brianna Stewart, totality.
South Carolina undefeated.
Four championships, four most outstanding players. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, three championships in his 3 years, three most outstanding players, and maybe similar to Clark, the game changed around Kareem, right? There was rule changes around him. That is your college GOAT conversation.
We're going to have rule changes.
Taking a break. Buy or sell next. They said no more blocking like Kareem blocks. We gotta change the rule. That's what they said.
No dunking.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
Xavier Worthy, 4.2140, all-time combine record. We are not worthy. The best part was he ran a 4.25 and said, you know what, I'm going to do it again. and he knew he could go lower. And the next best part was the crowd reaction. Love it. Marcel Louis-Jacques filing from the combine with an interesting note from NFL teams that the 40 has lost its utility to front office personnel and data analysts around the league in the modern era. Harry, do you believe a 4-2-1-40 has lost its utility to NFL teams?
I will sell that idea. I will buy that Marcel's piece honestly made me think about this in a different way. And, you know, it's insightful and shows all the advancements and things like that. But, Tony, there is never going to be a world where I see a 4-2-1 run at the combine and don't go, "Auga." I mean, come on, man. Like, what are we talking about here? You know what? And I'll give you this. Like, for all the advances that have been made, yes, there are different ways to measure speed, this, that, and the third. It is just like our analytics or information that we like to use, and it is a tool, things that you take into consideration when selecting a player. So, no, it has not lost.
I love the Auga metric from Lyle. Gutierrez, 4-2-1-40 still have utility to NFL teams?
Well, yeah, of course. There's always a space. There's always going to be an offensive coordinator that says, hey, give me the guy that can run the fastest. I can find a way to put him in space and show him off. But it is kind of like drafting a guy in basketball based strictly off of a vertical leap or off of a dunk contest. You have to be able to play football. You can't just be the fast guy. There's always been track guys that haven't been able to translate. Just because they perfect sprinting doesn't mean they perfect American football.
Yeah, I don't think it's the dominant metric of success as it once was. Puka Nacua had the 35th fastest time in the 40 last year, but he went the fastest in the gauntlet, which is the actual football drill. So how do you read defenses? How does that speed translate on the game tape? That will always matter more than running in a straight line for 40 yards untouched.
And Monica McNutt.
I mean, the NFL is doing all types of tracking on field, so they have to be able to, like Harry said, use this as a tool and not the dominant tool, like JT said, to see where it fits in terms of what you're trying to do. I think it comes down to ultimately your decision makers being able to apply this very fantastic Auga stat to what your team does.
I know you guys know, but it broke the previous record of 4.22. Who had set that? A wide receiver, John Ross, who was drafted one pick ahead of Patrick Mahomes and has not had the same career.
How'd that work out?
I had Auga, though.
Buy or sell two, LeBron, 40,000. Did you ever think the game and LeBron would get here, 40,000 points? What it means, but also what LeBron said after the game. Take a listen.
What would you tell 18-year-old LeBron about the journey to becoming an Olympic gold medalist, a four-time champion, and now scoring 40,000 points?
I wouldn't tell him anything, honestly, because 18-year-old LeBron had a great head on his shoulders. To be quite honest with you, everybody wanted to see me fail when I got to the league. I wish that on no kid in no sport to have this type of pressure put on them, and everybody wanted to see you fail.
Israel, how do you hear the reflective LeBron after 40K?
Well, that was covering the league on a daily basis when he got drafted, and I didn't hear that hatred, didn't feel that hatred coming from people who, like he says, wanted to see him fail. But I'm not LeBron James. I didn't experience everything on a daily basis. Like, I would imagine a 16-year-old black basketball player from the Midwest sort of being crowned the king before he's even an adult is going to have certain people acting a certain way. And maybe he heard those things, and maybe those people around him heard certain things more than we did. And so I guess all of this says to me, if you're LeBron James, no matter how hard you think it is to get where he is, it's even harder than you think it was.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, my perspective isn't LeBron's. And LeBron's, he's the only guy that's lived this entire journey from day one till right now. So it's clear to see that those doubts or people wishing a downfall on him, those things stick to his ribs even to this day. And that's human nature to be fueled by doubts and criticism. And LeBron's no different.
Monica McNutt.
What a treat to say you have no advice for your younger self. Like, I wish I could say that. That's not the case.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's the question I'm asking. Yeah.
I don't believe it in my own case. But I did appreciate him acknowledging the pressure that he was under at that age. And I think we see that in real time when last week he shot down the comments around his son and his draft stock. And so that, I think, is something that we all have to sit with. There are very few people that live up to the expectations, and there were no higher expectations than for what LeBron was supposed to do.
Harry Lyles Jr.
LeBron, 11-year-old me was rooting for you, buddy. So there's one person at least, right? But I feel like he was speaking to.
Go ahead,
I feel like he was speaking to three specific groups of people here, though. He was talking to people who call themselves Michael Jordan stans. He was talking to people who call themselves Kobe Bryant stans, and he was talking to people who gave him his biggest criticism during the, especially the early portion of his career, that say he wasn't a scorer and that he never wanted to take the big shot. And here we are, 40,000 points later, with the most unbreakable record.
So you acknowledge that existed, though. I mean, there's been some saying, well, how can LeBron? You know, and then there's others acknowledging that there were some who were trying to write history from a different perspective.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. It's hard to not tell a guy that, you know, he shouldn't feel that way when there were certainly people that wanted to see him fail. I get where he's coming from.
40,000. Kurt Goldsberry does the artwork. Of course, he does it better than anybody with how the shots looked. And somebody said in the mentions, this wind up looking both like a volcano to me and a bundt cake. All these shots just poured in there.
Bunt
cake.
It's a bunt.
Israel Gutierrez.
And I graphic look like my Papa Shaffield.
Tinsley, Lyle, showdown next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
A streak continued in basketball. South Carolina, second straight undefeated regular season. A streak snapped in softball. Oklahoma loses to Louisiana. They had won 71 straight games. Harry, what caught your eye?
Louisiana snapping the streak. This is an Oklahoma team that has won three consecutive championships and in those 3 years have eight losses. It has to be Louisiana.
Justin Tinsley?
Yeah, I got to go to Louisiana as well. Oklahoma, during this winning streak, they had 40 shutouts. That's over half of their games. And then you win an extra innings. Yeah, it's definitely Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Split the point. We'll move on. Western Michigan versus Ball State. This game is off the rails. It's overtime. It's still tied. 1.6 seconds left. Full length and a bounce for a buddy. Maybe not intended, but just mesmerizing to watch. Have you ever seen that before? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Here's another version of it in high school in Indiana. Inbounds, bounce pass, trouble, backwards pass. And that's a game winner. Justin, what was the better finish?
I gotta go with the full court pass. That was a direct violation of the Tom Jackson rule. If the ball's in the air, just knock it down.
All right, Harry Lyles Jr.
As aesthetically pleasing as that play was, everybody in Noblesville, Indiana will forever remember the day that you won the sectional championship with that type of pass in double overtime. It absolutely has to be the second play.
Mm-hmm. Auga, Auga. Harry Lyles Jr. This is a FaceTime you've heard.
ESPN's family lost a very important member on Sunday morning when Chris Mortensen passed away at the age of 72. He started working at the company in 1991, and as somebody that has loved sports my entire life, has honestly wanted to work here for most of my life, Chris Mortensen was one of the faces of this network, of this company, and I think one of the greatest compliments you could give to any journalist is that when that person says something, you believe it, and that was always Chris for me. Watching the NFL growing up, loving, obviously, and what that sport has become, his legacy that he has left and seeing everything that everybody has said about him is something that I think we all should want to strive for, both in our careers, but also our own lives.
I love to his family.